Mitzvah Shin Lamed Ches in the Sefer Achinuch. Shulei Lahaino Yis Echad Mi Yisrael B'Dwam. It's allowed in the Torah on the son of Yishas Mi Yisrael B'Ochid that one Lo Yisrael, one may not cause Tzar to another Jew. And it has two dimensions. It has a dimension which he discussed in the previous mitzvah of financial deceit. And it has a second dimension of causing personal anguish to a person. Now, what's interesting, there is in the previous mitzvah, for example, discussion that the Yisrael Lo Sonu in financial misdealing applies to movable properties but not to real estate. But the Orach Chaim, among others, tells us that this law of not causing anguish to someone else, if I cheat someone on a financial deal, I violated this part of Leisenu, because I caused the person to be upset. I've angered him, I've upset him, I've irritated him. And without any proper basis to do so, so even though I didn't violate the law of Leisaydo, I violated Gezel, other things, but I violate the law of Shalei Lahinus Echad Miyisol B'Dorom. I've caused them anguish. Kloimar Shalonemar Liyisrol Shalonemar Liyisrol, we should not say to a Yid Dvorim Shiyachivu V'Yitzaru, things that will cause them pain and anguish. I presume that it's a very difficult phrase. I presume it means it's the type of thing that a person just can't dismiss. If it's the type of thing that's light enough that a person can dismiss, then one wouldn't violate Leisenu. But if there's a sting to it, and the sting remains, a person can't dismiss the sting, that's the law of Leisenu. Uveferish Omru Zechonu Levracha. The Gemara specifically tells us in Bava Metzia. That's where I know is discussed, because in Bava Metzia there's an entire part of the Masechta which deals with Leisenu in terms of Einoh in business, mispricing, overpricing in business. So once the Gemara gets into that discussion, it then branches off into the second part of the same law of Einoh as Dvarim. Because I'll tell us, God lo inos dvorim, me inos mamon. As we'll see. Inos dvorim is considered a greater transgression than stealing from a person. Ketzad, and Chazal give us some examples of how careful one has to be. Im hoya bal tshuva, if a person has a checkered background, and now they've straightened out their life. Is lo yoyimar lo zechor masecha rishayna. We're not dealing, he's not talking with a person that, and a Baal Tshuva, the contemporary way that we use the word term Baal Tshuva. He's talking a person that was born and lived, grew up off Yiderach HaTorah, and at some point of his life, he got involved in types of activities which were very foreign to the lifestyle of Torah. And event, immoral actions, Chilul Shabbos, whatever they may be. And as life went on, he realized the error of his ways, and he came back again and re-entered the fold. That's the Baal Tshuva that we're talking about. Now, the episode in his life of what he went through was a very uncomfortable and painful episode. A person that grew up in a non-frum family and then became frum, to the contrary, the fact that he was once perhaps non-frum, I want us to yet be careful about that too. But if he came from that background and he's frum, so that's a person of tremendous maila. That doesn't degrade him in the least. To the contrary, he grew up and he did not have all the opportunities that everyone else in the community has, and yet he found his way to the Derech HaTorah. It was a tremendous shvach for a person, but yet we still have to be careful of when we mention it and when we don't mention it. It can be at times used by some people that are mean-spirited to be cast as a negative, even though it's inherently, there's no negative associated with it at all. But a person that grew up al pi derech haTorah, and he had proper chinuch and a proper community, and he strayed, and then he came back to the Derech HaYosha, it's a parsha in his life that he would like to pave over and make sure that it's forgotten. It doesn't fit in with what he would like his life to be perceived. We talk about certain of the Rosh Yeshivas, even in the last door. There were a number of them, in fact, that had such life episodes that they strayed from the Derech, and some of them very greatly. And then they righted the ship again, and they became very people of tremendous substance in their life. But they had some checkered periods in their life too. One, we believe always in the issue that people can become whatever a person has done, but Dalsay Chuvala, you know, a person can always come back to the Rabbeinu Shalom or find the Rabbeinu Shalom. And to that extent, Chazal tell us that the incident with David and Basheva, a very significant portion of it was that the Rabbeinu Shalom imposed upon David the task of becoming a Baal Tshuva. For what reason? That David HaMelech should inspire others. If we see that David HaMelech could do something that he shouldn't do in life, at whatever level or whatever way, it's not the time to discuss that particular incident in the Tanakh, but in whatever level and whatever way, Chazal say David was not roy. It was really something that should not have happened in his life. But the Rabbeinu Shalom imposed it upon him. Perhaps in a very minor sense, he was culpable. That's why it was he was the one that was chosen. But the Rabbeinu Shalom imposed it upon him. Why? So that he should blaze the path of tshuva for all of us. Because none of us can be secure that we won't wind up involved in things in life sometimes that we wish didn't happen. And we have to take the inspiration from David HaMelech, that David HaMelech is ultimately the author of the Tillim. David HaMelech is from the most inspirational figures in the history of Klal Yisrael. And there was a chapter in his life which he could have done without. So that gives all of us tremendous inspiration that if we stumble at times, so David HaMelech has already set the example for us. But to go and remind the person that he's had a sordid past, you know, some episodes in his life, causes a great deal of pain to a person. Remember what you used to be. If a person is afflicted with suffering, with illness, to tell him that what he's done in his life, his beliefs, his actions, this is what brought about the suffering that he has. It's a very inappropriate means. So we don't stand in the throne of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to judge why particular people suffer. And Eov, as we know, was a very righteous person, and he suffered despite the fact that he was righteous. So it was not indicative of chet in his life, but Eov suffered for other reasons. But yet, it causes a person a great deal of anguish. A person is bad enough that he's suffering, and now one of his friends comes along and tells him, oh, by the way, no, you really deserve it. And how does a person feel after that? There are other things, but not only these type of things. They're very mundane things, not only in a person standing before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Roch Hamorim of Action Tour. Hamorim were the teamsters, the truck drivers of most of history. And oftentimes their business was in transporting goods from place to place. They would buy goods in a market which had them for sale, and they transported them to a place where they were needed. And that's how they made their living. So Chamorim, these teamsters came, and they asked the person, the Vakshin Tvua. They know a city where grain is in short supply, so they want to load up and bring back loads of grain, and they'll sell it. That's how they're going to earn a living. So, you know, there's some people that have a very perverse sense of humor. A guy comes and tells you where to buy something. He says, oh, you know, take the go up there, go over the bridge, go 20 miles past the bridge and make a right and go over the bridge, you know, and you'll find a place. And the guy comes there, and what does he find in that place? He finds, either there's nothing there, deserted, he wants machinery, and he finds a produce market, and he wants produce, and he comes, you send him to a place that sells, you know, caterpillar tractors. So, people have all, there's been all through history, people have had such a perverse sense of humor. But send them to go buy, and the guy doesn't deal in grain, he doesn't have it all together. So he's just bothering the guy. And also something that we need to be very careful about. The business ethics, the mores changed to a certain extent, but nevertheless we still need to be very careful. It's perhaps somewhat different than it once was, because the nature of business is such, and the nature of what a business has to do to attract its customers is such, but we still have to be careful with it. But the Yom HaTagar, one shouldn't go to a storekeeper and ask him, become a chayvet zeh. By the way, how much does this cost? We're in a road to Likach, and I have no intention whatsoever of buying. Because he gets his hopes up that he's going to make a sale. And I have no intention whatsoever. I mean, it's one thing if I'm interested, I'm trying to pry, find out where I'm going to get the best price and the best service. So I'm a serious customer. I may not think that this guy necessarily is the place. In fact, I may even feel it's unlikely I might buy this place. But there's some possibility. So in the nature of business today, a guy would like, as long as there's some possibility that I might buy from him, the guy would like me to come and start and bother him. Right? Because he hopes, whatever, I'll see he's a pleasant fellow. I think he seems honest. His life will give me a good price. He's likely to give good service. I'll try to make a sale with all the factors which drive sales. So the biggest thing that you need in all sales is to get people in the door and have a chance to make your pitch. So as long as I'm absolutely determined that I'm not going to buy it from him, so I shouldn't be there wasting his time. And not only am I wasting his time inappropriately, which he could use better for others, which is inappropriate, but it's also loisenum, because he anticipates some possibility of a sale which doesn't exist. So it's changed. The nature of business and the competition and the models that exist is different today than it once was, but there's still a lot of room to be very careful in this regard. And that's in everything that a person says. I mean, he's given us merely a few examples. Later on, he is going to explain the fact that to really give all the possible details about Masson was an impossibility, because it has brought his life itself. Shirish mitzvah zu yadua. The purpose of this mitzvah, its root, he lost his shalom and abriyat. The Rabbeinu Shalom wishes there to be a harmonious world. The Godel Hashalom, and Chazal have coined the phrase that shalom, harmony, is very great. Shabbat Abrocha Metzuya Ba'ilam. Through shalom comes bracha to the world. It's a very famous teaching of Chazal. As Chazal have told us in the Medrash Rabbah, he quotes on the bottom, Godel HaShalom Shekol HaBrochos Klulos Bai. All the brachos in the world are included in Shalom. So HaBrocha Metzuya Ba'ilam. Chazal tells us one of the most famous Mishnayos, the very last Mishnah, the Shisha Siddur Mishnah, the end of Uktan, the end of Seder Tyrus, where Chazal talked about Ma'ilas HaShalom. And they ended the entire Shisha Siddur Mishnah with Shalom. And why? Because as Chazal tell us, in the Birchas Kohanim, we have all types of brachas that the Kohanim give us. And what is the final bracha? Shalom. Because without Shalom, none of the other brachas are worthwhile. We have nothing. A society that does not know peace and tranquility, a home that doesn't know peace and tranquility, what does it have? If it's blessed with everything else and it doesn't have tranquility, it has nothing. And that's why the Shemona Esrei also ends. What do we end the Shemona Esrei each day, three times a day? Amavorach HaSama Yisrael B'Shalom. Why? Because the greatest gift the Rabbeinu Shalom can give us is Shalom. And as I mentioned many times before, after we give Haidah, after Maidim, we have an increased capacity to ask the Rabbeinu Shalom to fulfill our needs. So what do we reserve for the ultimate, the one request we're going to make at the end of Shemona Esrei, we hold back, is Sim Shalom. It's the ultimate blessing, the ultimate bracha that we need. Now how do we achieve that? We achieve that by an extreme degree of care of how we speak to other people. That's one of the ways. It's dependent also on the actions that we take too. But first and foremost, even more than actions, speech is much more abundantly used than action. And speech is much more, many more times, the source of rancor among people, much more than deeds. Speech is very easy to be frivolous with. And yet, the Chazal, the Chafetz Chaim, the Chatzadik of Rocha, in the Sefer Shmiras HaLoshon, is a very fascinating piece. It says, if I were to ask a person, which is more significant, actions or words? Everyone in the world would say that actions are common. What are words? Or is it nothing? And yet, he says, Chazal taught us otherwise, that actions are a part of this world, of the material world. Speech is already closer to the world of spirituality. And therefore, he says, a chet, which involves speech, is much more significant than a chet, which involves action. The Maral of Prat, in the Sefta Erech, and the Gemara writes, that if a person wishes to do tshuva for Lashon Hara, that he should learn Torah. So the Maral of Prat says, why? He says, we've talked about action, and then there's the abstractions of thought, which is the most removed from this world. He says, speech is the nexus of thought and action. It's the thought that we have in the mind being expressed in physical form through the tongue. So it's higher than action itself, because it involves already, it's an expression of machshava, but yet it still has a physical expression. And therefore, what do we need to be mechaper for? Torah, which is purely in the machshava, which is the most spiritual thing that a person can do. And that is mechaper for Lashon Hara. So speech, the Chofetz Chaim tells us, is to be taken very, very seriously in its spiritual dimension and in its practical dimension. Now, I wanted to stop for a moment. And if you look in the bottom left-hand corner of this page, in the Minchas Chinuch, this applies to every person of the Jewish faith. The cause of a Rav HaMachaber, and we will see soon that the Sefer HaChinuch spells out, that one should be careful even with Ketanim. Now, Nirolani has Daiti, the Lav Zekoy Al Ketanim Gamke. He's not merely suggesting that for you it's worthwhile, it's a piety to be careful when dealing with Tananim, and Chachinah tells us. But even when dealing with people below the age of Bar Mas Mitzvah, they also have feelings, and the law applies to them as well, to hurting their feelings. In Maishno Mukotin Dinichlam, what's the difference if I humiliate or embarrass or cause anguish to a cotton? Why is it any different? And the truth of the matter is, in many regards, it's even worse. A person that's mature learns in life how to deal with the hard knocks of life. Doesn't make them easy, but we have more experience. We're more used to dealing with them and how to shake them off and go forward. A child lacking that experience and maturity can be much more affected negatively by a negative word that was expressed to them, much more than an adult can. So he writes that the law clearly applies. And what's very interesting is a very fascinating and well-known story with the stipler, but there are many, many, many such stories from G'dayla Yisrael. The stipler showed up one day in a very advanced age. He came to a bar mitzvah of an Abrax. And the father was rather astounded that at his advanced age he bothered to come to this child's bar mitzvah. For what particular reason did he come? So the father went over to him and asked him why he came. So he said, I'll tell you why I came. He says, in the shul, in the Letterman shul next to my house where I davened, so I saw this bar mitzvah bachur one day, that he had what appeared to be a sefer in front of him in the middle of davening. And I admonished him that the middle of davening is not a time to learn, it's a time to daven. And then I looked down and I saw this was just a siddur with perusha, but it was actually a siddur. Now I had a dilemma. I had insulted a child, unwittingly, but nevertheless I had. And the problem is, the Gemara says that a child is really not capable of giving mechila. It says in Bava Metzia. So what could I do? Now I was really in a bind. He says, so Baruch Hashem, he says, I lived to see the day of his bar mitzvah. So I come now to his bar mitzvah. Is I mean, to ask him of his mechila, I guess, and in the schus, he'll be happy that I came, so he'll be moich on me. There's a hirus that Gedolei Yisrael had not to violate mitzvah. One cannot appreciate, I will tell you, what the love of Nisaynu is unless you've had the experience of being amongst Gedolei Yisrael when they are troubled with an issue of Nisaynu. In the years that I spent together living with the Rosh Yeshiva, I lived with him for 3 years in his house. Yeah. The shyness would sometimes cause him the greatest anguish and the greatest incineration, and the contortions that he would go to deal with them, dealt with anything which could hurt a person's feelings. To hurt a person's feelings, Eloi Sasei. And almost any shafa chas, which was mutter al pidin, was acceptable and necessary to avoid hurting somebody's feelings. So he would look for every type of eitzah in the book, some solution. And he's a person who has lived his entire life on the plane of the chatzila. On the day that he lost his rebbe and Allah Shalom, they called with a certain shayla. I was sitting shiva there. If a certain thing is permissible or not. And my answer was that there's a head to fort. But the one that asked the Shiloh understood that it didn't mean it was the Muslach Tchiladika thing to do. But it was something which I felt that under the circumstances and the emotional stress of the moment, there's a basis to rely on a certain hetter. And the Rosh Yeshiva set forth to actually implement it. And before he actually arrived at the point that he had to implement it, he said, he turned around and went back. So he's not doing it. He says, my entire life, together with the Rebbetzin, Allah Shalom, we spent doing everything the Chatzilah, not the Di'evit. So at this juncture, I'm not going to do something. It was emotionally a tremendous strain for him. But he said he wouldn't do it. He would not be enter into a Di'evit even at this point. That was inappropriate. And yet, when it came to causing tzar to people, there was cannot no heter shasat chak that he wouldn't be saimechon not to cause another person anguish. The kia, the concern of not to violate leisainu, one could no less than the concern of chalila not to be nichshon and chalos Shabbos and macholos asurus. And if one has not been present among Gedolei Yisrael to see them at a struggle with this issue of leisainu, we don't know what it means. The experience of being there and seeing it happen is shocking. How seriously they weigh such an issue. Ronnie. Oh. A little insight into what the cheer the heroes that Gedolei Yisrael have when it comes to my son. Yeah.
Well, what is there?
We're going to come to that. That's the next part of the Sefer HaChinuch. So I just wanted to stop, just to give a little insight on what the Minchas Chinuch talks about, how careful we have to be, even with Ketanim. To treat them with dignity and respect, and not to hurt them in any way. We'll turn to the next page at this point. Dinei HaMitzvah, Kamal's Horos, the Kamal's Yeruzen. There are many lois says, in other words, many things that we shouldn't do, but Kamal's Yeruzen, many things that we should do. Shehiz Yeruno, Zichonu Levrocha, Binyan said. There are many things that Chazal have admonished us concerning this. Shelo lehachiv, abriyos, b'shem dover, not to cause anguish to people, v'lo levayisham, and chalila, not to be mevayishtem. V'fligo b'dover, and they've gone to such an extent that Sha'amru, Shlo yit leina wala mekach b'shor shayin lo domo. If you don't have money, something I might like to buy, I just don't have the money for it now. I shouldn't wander around the dealers that sell it knowing that I don't have the money to buy it. V'roi lehizor shafilu b'remez dvorov. Not only what we openly express, even there shouldn't be the faintest illusion. Lo yehi nishma chiraf l'bnei yodim, something which degrades another person. Ki ak Torah hikpida harbi l'anos dvorov. The Torah was very, very stringent when it comes to anos dvorov. Why? People suffer very much from negative words that are expressed to them by others. And it's an observation of a Rishon. There are many people that are more upset with an insult that someone hurls at them than losing money. They'd rather lose money than experience the humiliation of being insulted. And people don't lose money readily in this world, Rabbi Yisai. I don't have to tell you that. And yet, the people had to choose, oftentimes they would choose to lose money and rather to avoid insult. Kamsu, Bar Kamsu. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What would Bar Kamsa have given to avoid humiliation? Right? When I spoke in Tisha B'Av, I spoke, it was sometimes the backdrop is amazing. So I spoke on Tisha B'Av in a Teres Chinka. So I said, Rabbi, I was sitting in a place where we can gather something, 1,000 people will gather here, 800 people gather here for a chasana. Could you imagine the night of a chasana, a guy comes over to the Baal Simcha and he says, listen, here's a check, the whole thing's on me. Right here, in this place. So, I can't even imagine a guy that's rich enough that would turn it down. I mean, I know very rich people, but if he came with a check of $30,000, $40,000, I don't know any of them that are sending it back so fast. It's not my experience. And here, why don't you go? I told him, no, get out of here. Just to put him in perspective. Yeah, but Compton was willing to spend a fortune of money to avoid the humiliation. What a Chazal tell us, in Bob Metzia, the Gdoyloi Noas Tvorme Anoas Moment. An insult, a feeling which something which hurts someone's feelings is worse than cheating them financially. How do we see this? When it comes to financial misdealings, it doesn't say V'yareisim Elokecha. When it comes to saying something inappropriate to someone, there it says V'yareisim Elokecha. Remember the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Torah invokes the name of the Rabbeinu Shalom in connection, more in connection with a negative word to someone than in financial misdealings. And that's where the Mishnah draws this lesson from. It's impossible to write every possible thing which could cause another person anguish. It's just a million situations in life. Each person has to be careful in this regard in accordance with their own perception. We have to live with our eyes open, observe the world around us, and see how careful we have to be. And here he tells us, and that's the V'yareisa Me'elokecha, that sometimes we inadvertently cause tzar to someone else. We should try to avoid that too, but inadvertent things are very hard. You know, some of us lack the sensitivity and the insight as to what concerns a person. So that's why it says, V'yareisa Me'elokecha. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam can distinguish, sometimes a person wants to be sly. So they pretend not to know. But they have enough insight to know that this mentioning this particular subject will cause deep anguish to this person. So they pretend that they don't know about it, the reason that this person would be caused anguish, and they mention the subject. And they mean to cause them to cringe. But you can't point a finger at them because it's done in a fashion where they could probably be just totally unaware. But they are aware. So that's what the Torah writes for your race, something about Kecha. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam understands the meaning of every step that we take and every remez, every implication in our statements. He are the mirror line, people we can deceive. They only can judge us by the exterior. And a person that's slick enough, at least as Abe Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time. That you can get away with. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam sees right through us. So that's why it says, V'yoreisam Elokecho. The Kamamasim Kospulonu Zichonu L'Brochu V'Medroshu L'Laman Azim Musa. How many incidents did Chazal record in the Medrash to teach us how careful we have to be in these matters? V'ikura Indim Eperak Revibim Metziah, the fourth Perak and Bom Metziah. The care that we have to take. And it's perhaps unfortunate that only, you know, Lashon Hara has become a very popular thing to be careful about. That's not unfortunate, but that's the only thing that's become popular. That's somewhat unfortunate. I mean, we certainly, in all manner of speech, need to be very, very careful. One word that we tell a person could put a person's entire life out of kilter. Person sometimes could be so upset from something or so down from something, a word that was said to him, that his whole life can proceed forward on the wrong foot from one word. And that's true of dealing with people. It's true of a Rebbe or a teacher with Talmidim or Talmida. It's true of a parent with a child. Now carefully we have to gauge what we ought to say and what we ought not to say. This is not, as he says, this is not an easy test, because the end degree of Lashon we really don't understand, because we don't understand anyone in this world fully, nor do we know everything about their life. This mitzvah applies b'chol mokom, in every place and every time. It's not limited by time, it's not limited to Eretz Yisrael, it's not limited to one particular era. This is something which is endemic to the human existence. This chorom and the kapis, whether irrespective of gender, but feel the b'ktanim roi lizor, and one should be very, very careful, even with ktanim, shalach, even b'dvorim yosem idai, not to pain them too much. Meaning to say, once, why should he pain them at all? Zulosi ma'ashatru ma'ashatrichem harbi kadei sheyichum musam. If one has to educate a child, one has to draw a very difficult line. On one hand, we have to admonish them, because they do things they're not supposed to, and we have to remind them, Shalozo Adar, you can't live your life this way. And yet, we have to be careful at the same time not to overdo it. So that's a very, very difficult line. And halavai, if we were all blessed with the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech to know exactly what, where to start and where to stop. But none of us are Shlomo HaMelech, so we don't always get it right. But it's a struggle in life, and that's what he's warning us, that we can sometimes avoid saying something which is strong, and yet how far to go and when to stop is also not obvious. And it's one of the things we have to struggle with in life. Whether it's others that are minors that sometimes need to be admonished, or ones do people in one's own family. And if one goes lightly and makes sure not to cause them anguish, the one that's careful will be paid back with good life and bracha and coveted honor. Because if a person is very, very careful in dealing with others in a very careful fashion, so he's a person that's appreciated and a person that people like. And if a person's well-liked because he's refined, so that tends to lead, that he should lead a very a pleasant life. And if one violates this and says something negative to a chav, Ba'oisun Shapir Shul Chacham Zichrono Levracha. For example, the ones that I've mentioned before, Ba'al Tshuva, B'chayla, B'chayitzim, or anything similar. Over Alam Zeh. And then there's a whole discussion, a very interesting discussion. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, Awalein Leikun Olav Lefi Shein Bo Maisa. This is considered a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Speech in and of itself is perhaps not considered a Maisa. So therefore it's Lav Shein Bo Maisa. There's an entire discussion of this. But it happens to be that the Balei HaTais was told that a person would get Malkus for Leisayna. It's not considered a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. There is an entire discussion about this, which he discussed before. If we go back to the previous page, on the bottom of the page, you see Ois Beis at the bottom of the page, all the way under all the texts. So he writes the fact that there is no Malkus, Lefisha Ein Bo Maisa, because it's considered a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Ubashadis and Shubas of the Maram of Rutenberg, right? The Maram of Rutenberg is a person of very great note in Jewish history. He was the Rebbe of the Rosh, one of the foremost pillars of the Halacha, and he was the one, in fact, that was imprisoned. He refused to allow himself to be ransomed, and it's quite obvious historically he was successful in what he wanted to do. Because the Mishnah tells us that a person in that situation should not allow himself to be ransomed, so that he should not invite repeated such attempts. And we do not know, in fact, despite all the travails of the Jews in Europe, that this ever happened again. That a rov was taken and held for ransom for his community is not known to have happened again in another 700 years of Jewish history, 600 or 700 years of Jewish history until the Holocaust. It didn't happen. So he correctly perceived the stance that he should take, and it was a very courageous one. So he writes in his Tshuvas, Shayesh Malkus Alav Zeh, that there is Malkus. Why? Kevin Shalom Nitin Li Shalom. Theft, Leisigzol, there is no halach of Malkus. Why? Because since I can make remuneration and give the money back, so therefore I can rectify that which was done. Since I can rectify it, it's a Lav Anitik Lasei, it can be rectified. So a Lav Shanitik Lasei does not have Malkus. But he says, what can I do to rectify the anguish that I caused the person? Money I can give back, but I can't take it back. That's his view. Our Rabbeinu Tam is super pedover. They say the Rabbeinu Tam was not sure if you get Malkus. V'chein kozov Mordechai, Shaloikin Alav Zeh, the Mordechai is from the Chachmei Ashkenaz, also from the Rishonim, that one gets Malkus for such a thing. V'chidushi Anshi Shem, Heir, Davi Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Why it should be considered a Lav Shein Bo Maisa? So there's an entire discussion about this, exactly what it is. But there are even those that suggest, in fact, that Leisonu is no different than anything Chazan, the one gets Malkus for. Yeah. That's an interesting question, which I once discussed, what exactly the role of Mechila is. What is the role of Mechila? One perspective on Mechila, that Mechila is sort of the compensation that I have to make to another person. That's an entire discussion, it's not for now. But the view of the Maram Rutenberg is that Mechila does not apply. Apparently that's a precondition to receive Kapora from the Rabbeinu Shalom, but that does not really undo that which I did. This is an entire discussion which is going to go into now, which I don't believe we have time to complete. And that is how a person should deal with others that are negative to him. People come and they hurl insults, for example, at a person. So what is the expectation that the Torah has of us? To respond, not to respond? That's part of the question. I'll start with it, and it's very, very important, because it is very important not to misconstrue what the baseline requirements of the halacha are and what piety is. And if we do misconstrue it, it could have very, very devastating effects on ourselves. Uvulam lefi adoima, it would appear, he says, Ein b'mashma shem bo Yisrael echad v'hischol v'hershia. If someone came and he started in with me, l'tzayr chavero b'dvorim ron, he hurls negative insults at me. The Torah does not expect that the person that hears them should not answer. It's not a reasonable expectation. A person cannot be like a stone which is just unmoved. And furthermore, and if he's silent, it may in fact be taken as indication by others that he acquiesces with the accusations. The Torah has not commanded us to be ke'evan shaysik l'mechorfov, k'moylem avorchov, to be as silent to his detractors as he is to the ones that praise him. Avot tzava osano shel esrachik min amidazis, to the extent possible, we should stay away from speaking negatively. Ubishalo naschil eskoytel l'mecharov b'nei adam, we should not be the ones who initiate the confrontation with others. Overchain, and if we do that, you know, till Odom, he calls that. To a large extent, this will spear us in life on these type of altercations. Why? To Misha'enu Balktoto, if a person is not the person who fights, lo yechafu b'nei Odom, then he doesn't arouse enmity from others that want to insult him. Except Zulosi Ashaytim Agamura. Except if a person is a totally foolish person. And Vein Losis Leval Ashaytim, those he can dismiss. I mean, there are certain people of such nobility of character that everyone praises them as wonderful people, that you can't imagine someone that would start a fight with them. If someone would start a fight with them, it would be so off the wall that the person himself would dismiss it as being of no note. Now he writes at the bottom, and this is very, I want to skip to the last paragraph for now. Rulam yeshkat mibnei odom sha'ila chasidusam kolkach. There is a small group of people who are so, chasidusam means that they are way beyond tzitkus. Tzitkus means a person that's mekayim all the halachas, but they are so deep into lifnei meshoras hadin shelo yirtzu lahachnis atzmo merozu. They don't want to involve themselves even in this lahoshul chorfeim dover to answer a person that insults them. Then yigbar aleihem akas, because they're afraid that maybe they will grow angry. He is pashtur b'nei yosem idayim, and they'll go overboard. And therefore, even though they have every right, according to the din, to answer the person, but they're afraid that it may lead them to a point of anger that's beyond what's appropriate. V'aleihem omru zechonon levrocha, hanelovim ve'enam oven, shomon charposin ve'enam yeshiva. And these are called oyavov b'tzeis Hashem eshbet burasov, meaning that they reach the tremendous madrega of avas Hashem. So what I want to end with is, so we have the baseline chiyuv, which is not to initiate insulting anyone else. If a person is insulted by others, that he has a right to respond to that. But yet there is a madrega of chassidus that a person should not even respond to that. But it's important to remember that this madrega is a madrega of chassidus. And many people are in many situations, a person may not be able to be on that madrega. And he says, the Torah cannot expect a person to be like a stone who is untouched and unmoved. And I was recently called, in fact, by a mental health practitioner who wanted to discuss this matter with me because it was relevant to a person that he's counseling. And this person had expectations of himself that he should never respond even if insulted. And he thought it was inappropriate, according to the halacha, to do so. Which inevitably, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, caused him a tremendous amount of suffering. So I explained to this person that there are some such people, and they're very great and saintly people, but this is not an expectation of normal people and normal individuals in Klal Yisrael, according to the Halacha, that they should be unmoved and untouched by insults or negative words which are hurled at them. It's a very, very difficult mitzvah. It's a very, very difficult, one of the hardest mitzvahs, in fact, to fulfill. I think this is harder, probably, than not speaking Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara, there are certain temptations But most of the temptations for Lashon Hara can be avoided. Most of them. But there are certain things which come about. This is a reaction to things that we observe in life. And that's much more difficult to deal with than even to put Lashon Hara in order. Yeah.
My friend tells a story of a couple that had children for 25 years. Went in,
yes, it's a very, very high madriga. Yeah. Listen, it's a question only to tell a person that it's inappropriate and what you're saying it's untrue and inappropriate. You shouldn't speak to me in such a belligerent and negative fashion. It's not talking necessarily to go and launch an unbridled attack. That's exactly the problem that he says, why, well, what we have to be careful about and what we so often do.
Next week, yeah, better for this.